Then I can't help you. This thing is purely alphabetical, by last name. It's going to say Smith, Dr. Bill, or whatever. Something like that, in very small letters. Got to be a contact number for a doctor. There might be an emergency. Got to be some way of getting hold of the guy. I don't see anything. Wait. I know how. Give me the Apollo Inn. Apollo like the space rocket? Exactly like the space rocket. The keyboard pattered and Hoag read out a number, a 308 area code for the western part of the state, and then seven more digits. Reacher repeated them once in his head and said, "Thanks," and hung up and redialed. 10 miles south, Mahmani's man was dialing too, calling home. He got Mahmani on his cell and said, "We have a problem." Mahmani said, "Specifically?" "Oscar has run out on us." "Impossible." "Well, he has. I sent him down to the car to get me a bottle of water. He didn't come back, so I checked. The car is gone, and he's gone too." "Call him." "I tried 10 times. His phone is off." "I don't believe it." "What do you want me to do?" "I want you to find him." "I have no idea where to look." Mahmani said, "He drinks, you know." "I know, but there's no bar in town, just a liquor store. And it will be closed by now, and he wouldn't have driven to the liquor store anyway. He would have walked. It's only about 3 blocks away." "There must be a bar. This is America. Ask the concierge." "There is no concierge. This isn't the Bellagio. They don't even put water in the rooms." "There must be someone at the desk. Ask him." "I can't go anywhere. I don't have a car, and I can't ask the others for help. Not now. That would be an admission of weakness." "Find a way," Mahmani said. "Find a bar and find a way of getting there. That's an order." Reacher listened to the ringtone. It was loud and sonorous and resonant in his ear, the product of a big, old-fashioned earpiece, maybe an inch and a half across, buried deep inside a big, old-fashioned plastic handset that probably weighed a pound. He pictured the two phones ringing in the motel, 50 miles north, one at the desk, one behind the bar. Or maybe there were more than two phones. Maybe there was a third extension in a back office, and a fourth in Vincent's private quarters. Maybe the whole place was a regular rat's nest of wiring, just like the inside of a lunar module. But however many phones there were, they all rang for a long period, and then one of them was answered. Vincent came on and said, "This is the Apollo Inn," just like Reacher had heard him say it before, very brightly and enthusiastically, like it was a brand new establishment taking its first ever call on its first ever night in business. Reacher said, "I need Eleanor Duncan's phone number." Vincent said, "Reacher? Where are you?" "Still out of town. I need Eleanor's number." "Are you coming back?" "What could possibly keep me away?" "Are you not going to Virginia?" "Eventually, I hope." "I don't have Eleanor's number. Isn't she on the phone tree?" "No. How could she be? Seth might answer." "Okay. Is the doctor there?" "Not right now." "Slow night, then." "Unfortunately." "Do you have his number?" "Hold the line," Vincent said. There was a thump as he put the handset down, maybe on the bar, and then a pause, just about long enough for him to walk across the lounge, and then the sound of a second handset being raised, maybe at the desk. The two open lines picked up on each other, and Reacher heard the room's slow echo hissing and bouncing off the round-domed ceiling. Vincent read out a number, the area code and 7 more digits, and Reacher repeated them once in his head and said, "Thanks," and hung up and redialed. The guy at the Marriott's desk told Mahmani's man that, yes, there was a bar, not exactly in town, but 10 miles north, on the left shoulder of the two-lane, called the Cell Block. a pleasant place, reasonably priced, and that, yes, it was usually open late, and that, yes, there was a taxi service in town, and that, yes, he would be happy to call a cab immediately. And so, less than 5 minutes later, Mahmini's man was sliding across stained vinyl into the rear seat of an ancient Chevy Caprice, and the driver was pulling out of the lot and heading down McNally Street and making the right at the end. The doctor answered a lot faster than Vincent had. Reacher said, "I need Eleanor Duncan's phone number." The doctor said,
"Reacher, where are you?"
"Still out of town."
"Are you coming back?"
"What, are you missing me?"
"I didn't tell the Duncans about the Cadillac."
"Good man. Has Seth gone home yet?"
"He was still with his father when I left."
"Will he stay?"
"People say he often does."
"You okay?"
"Not too bad.
I was in the truck.
The Cornhuskers got me."
"And?"
"Nothing much, just words, really."
Reacher pictured the guy, maybe standing in his hallway or his kitchen, quaking, shaking, watching the windows, checking the doors. He asked, "Are you sober?" The doctor said,
"A little."
"A little?
It's about as good as it gets these days, I'm afraid."
"I need Eleanor Duncan's number. She's not listed."
"I know that. She's not on the phone tree."
"But she's your patient."
"I can't."
"How much more trouble could you be in?"
"It's not just that. There are confidentiality issues, too. I'm a doctor. Like you said, I took an oath."
"We're making an omelet here," Reacher said. "We're going to have to break some eggs."
"They'll know it came from me."
"If it comes to it, I'll tell them different." The doctor went quiet, and then he sighed, and then he recited a number. "Thanks," Reacher said. "Take care. Best to your wife." He hung up and redialed and listened to yet more ringtone, the same languid electronic purr, but this time from a different place, from somewhere inside the restored farmhouse, among the pastel colors and the fancy rugs and the oil paintings. He figured that if Seth was home, then Seth would answer. It seemed to be that kind of a relationship. But he bet himself a buck Seth wasn't home. The Duncans were in two kinds of trouble, and Reacher's experience told him they would huddle together until it passed. So Eleanor was probably home alone and would pick up. Or not. Maybe she would just ignore the bell, whatever the barman 30 feet away thought about human nature. She picked up.